Hey you, trader, why the sad face? Bad day in the markets? Bad year in the markets? If you're like many other traders I've met recently, you're about to give up, go broke, or both. They say the definition of insanity is when people continue doing the same thing and expect different results. Sound like you? You've invested a lot of time and money in this trading business, right? Well, before you give up or go broke, let's just take off the crazy hat for a moment, okay? Forget the schemes and scams that litter the internet. That 80% win ratio in his dreams and your nightmares. The 89 consecutive winning trades guy. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It really comes down to what actually works. At the end of the day, who can you really trust on your way to Wall Street? Here's a thought. What if you could spend day after day with seasoned traders and market analysts? What if you could cut through the theory and simply see real-time trades and strategies that work? Debunk the myths and learn the ropes. Cut the risks by avoiding simple mistakes. How much do you think that would be worth in the long run? If you could literally shave years off the learning curve and keep tens of thousands of dollars in your account for the actual purpose of trading, would that be of great value to you? Would that be the definition of doing something different? Right now, CFRN has a limited time offer. I want to invite you to spend a full week with the CFRN team. I want you to test drive our online platform and feel the power of our custom indicators for an entire week. I want you to witness real trades with real money in real time. I want you to see a humble, ethical, and proven trading system that's simple and, more importantly, that works. You can pass this off as just another sales pitch. You can risk tens of thousands of dollars and several years of your life in an attempt to prove me wrong. Or you can come hang out with us for just 1 week. No strings attached, no credit card required. All we require is a simple desire to learn. Stop the insanity today. Test drive our platform and indicators for 1 full week. Trade with us live for 1 full week. No strings attached, no credit card required. If I'm wrong, there'll be plenty of time to give up or go broke next week. So act today. This is a limited time sensitive offer. To get started, visit www.cfrn.net. That's www.cfrn.net. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, good afternoon, friends, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Prosperity for God's People. Today's Tuesday. It is the first day of March 2011. Gold is up $19, trading at $14.28. look at the other numbers, the Dow is off by 77. S&P is off by 10.5. The comp is down by 25. And yes, I am testing yet another headset, which is probably one of the most uncomfortable ones yet, but the sound is, it's not so bad. It's doable. I'm working my way back to the one I originally had, but yeah, I'll be able to go to work for those companies. They write the reviews on all the different gadgets. Yeah, I should have a part-time job. I could write a review on just about every computer headset there is available. I've got the experience. Thank you, Rob. Rob says, well, the sound is sure better than yesterday. Thank you very much, Rob. Now, from what I hear, that didn't take much to be better than yesterday, but I'm glad it's better than yesterday, so I don't have to dial in over the telephone line. I sound normal now. All right, Keith. Oh, my goodness. Great. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. All right, let's see who we have assembled here. This madcap cast of zany characters. There's Michael. Good morning, Michael. Or good afternoon.
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, yeah, right. Good afternoon. It is 12:08. Good afternoon, Dwayne. And David.
Yay.
And everyone else. It does sound much better. Much,
yeah.
Much better.
You, unfortunately, you sound a little tinny today. No, I'm kidding.
Thanks. It does sound better. I'm sorry I didn't comment earlier on it.
Well, earlier I was dialing in on the telephone.
Ah, okay. Well, maybe that's why I didn't notice it.
So, the only issue with dialing in on the telephone, the little Plantronics telephone that I bought, it's a little phone you hold in the palm of your hand, and it's got a headset. So it's like a wireless phone, but it's a little, it just fits in the palm of your hand with the keypad and everything. And it's really a good phone. Now, it was about $150, $160, but it's a fully functioning phone, and it's a really good one. And I would be perfectly content to just do all of the webinars using it. It's comfortable to wear, but can't do the sound files. I have to actually be talking across the soundboard on the computer to get the guest into the webinar. See, the way I used to do it was with a telephone coupler, a lot of complicated equipment, a big mixing board, and I really don't want to go back to that. So I'm going to find the perfect headset. Maybe I'll design it. I was even on some websites yesterday afternoon that teach you how to build your own headset. And man, they had tutorials, video tutorials of stuff they were doing. I didn't find anything that I wanted to try to emulate, but they were going to like the Salvation Army, getting the old style Bell telephones, you know, yanking the guts out of those. And one guy even made a desktop microphone that looks just like the one. Just drew a blank. The guy, Glenn Beck, the big blue microphone that he has. This guy with, you know, $20 worth of materials, he and an old Bell telephone from Salvation Army, he recreated that microphone, and it works. Doesn't have the same quality as Beck's, of course, but it looks like it, and it does function. So, anyway, probably I won't end up building my own, although David has experience in those types of things, so he might, in his spare time, in his extra bedroom, consider building me a super headset. Or he could just send me his. Hey, Bert, I have one of those. I just don't know where it is. Bert says, what about a Mr. Microphone? Could you just use one of those? That was pretty cool technology when that first came out.
Yeah, wasn't it? Hey, you, on the bike. I had one of those.
Did you? I had one, too.
Yeah.
All right, Bert, so what's going on your side of the desk? What are the brokers talking about? What are traders doing?
The buzz today is the metals again.
Yeah.
Gold, about $20 in the gold. Silver's on a same page, 4447.
I think Bert needs a new microphone.
Bert,
now.
Bert, you're supposed to gargle before you come on the program.
Oh, really? Why, was it doing something funny?
It sounded like you were gargling, up. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that.
But your advertising scope.
Yeah, the highlights have been the medals. Gold 14, 28, 29, up 20 bucks. Silver 34.5, that's up 67 cents. And the other mover and shaker is the energy complex. We got crude up almost $2, pushing $99 a barrel. And then I think the other bit is the reversal that we put off the top last night in the indices.
Yep.
And at one point we were up, what, probably 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 points. And that's we got an potential engulfing pattern down on a daily today, right? You should have.
I've got it over on a Globex session now. We can see that overnight high right there, and I think I mentioned it this morning in the live training room that. I mean, that alone right there. I don't know if you can see my chart, Bert. That's an hourly. This is an hourly chart. I mean, we punched through resistance after we struggled with it for some 16 hours before we finally punched through it. And those of you who were tuned in yesterday will remember that we had this over here on the hourly chart. Now, what happened is this thing got up here and got into this zone, this weekly trading zone, this one-point range, 29 to 30. Look how small those hourly candles got. Just, and then, just before midnight, we get this push up, and then we spike off the London Open and reverse, and it's just been... there's 1 hour right there. There's the opening hour. We had a high of 1332 all the way down to, was that a 12-point drop in the first hour we had? Yeah?
Yeah, that's when you guys were, I think, selling the YM and the training room.
Yep.
We had a big drop in that first hour.
And now here we are, 24 hours later, on an hourly chart, still looking for support. Bert, you got any numbers down in this area here that you are of particular interest to you?
Actually, let me look at the weekly trading zones, and I'll tell you.
Now, there you go.
did I say that good?
That's a way to play it to the host.
Ironically.
Ironically enough.
The weekly training.
I have, if you break it down on an hourly, I have 1310 to 1308 as a spot, so I would look for support down there the first time down. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, not ironically, but there is I think there's a gap. I think it's 03.5. Get this chart off here.
Well, I'll show you where there's a gap. We can see that on our sentiment indicator, which. By the way, on the sentiment indicator, we did go bearish. We were talking about it in the live training room this morning when it happened. Okay, I'll roll back here, and you can see that when this thing changes, it's usually pretty significant. Okay, it doesn't just like, I think I am going to, I can't make up my mind. We don't see a lot of that with this indicator. So this was the first 7-minute candle. I said, give it a couple candles, and so now we're here. And then I said, if you really want confirmation, watch for a break of this low at 17.25. And once we broke that low, then we dropped down to 13.75 so far. So a tradable move would have been, I guess, 13.20 down to 13.14 so far, 6 points. But that gap that I think you're referring to, Bert, now I had circled this gap from yesterday morning, and I drew this horizontal line, and then yesterday we came right back to fill that perfectly. See that?
Mm-hmm.
But the one that we had going back to Friday,
there you go.
That's the one you're talking about, right, Bert?
Yeah, I think everyone should eyeball that level.
Okay, and I put a line across here, and so this is
so
it right here, guys.
What does that mean? That basically what that means is if you're looking for a place to go long, given today's action, that would be the first area I would consider buying the first time down. But I'd like to get it. Because on a daily, we should have an engulfing pattern down, right? We should have a higher high, a lower low, almost a lower low, and a potential lower close today. Which would be pretty bearish on a daily, bigger picture. And that would kind of coincide with the sentiment indicator.
Hey, Bert, have you ever met Doug?
Doug Eckel?
Mm-hmm.
I have not. I think I met him.
Oh, wait, didn't you guys go to lunch or something?
No, I was going to, but I think, I don't know. I think that was 47 years ago.
It was, but somebody went to lunch with Doug. I thought it was you.
Yeah, I had a customer that lived by me that wanted to meet Doug, and we were going to meet him together, but I didn't think we ever got around to it, but at some point I'd like to.
Hey, Doug, you got a live mic.
Okay, how are you doing?
Ooh.
Hey, Doug.
I've got the cave mic. How are you doing?
Good.
It's funny you said that. Whatever your indicator is the same one we were speaking of yesterday. I'm right in the same area here at the 0950. I'm just getting ready to write 13:10.
Yeah, that 09010. That's a weekly trading zone for us. We send those out to the partners on Sunday night prior to the open on Monday. And so that's just the area we're working with today. But, that headset that you're on, still having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. And I'm not one to talk because I've been besieged by headset issues of late. So, you know, I'm the first one to point a finger. Oh, that guy doesn't sound right. So I apologize, but...
yeah, I think one of those probably really similar to the one you've got, the Plantronics wireless headset. You've got the one with the keypad. I've got this USB one for our computer, so it's... Check that one off the list.
I come home with mine, and I'm like, hey, honey, I got this nice wireless deal here. And she's like, what do you mean wireless? I said, it's wireless. I can walk around. She goes, well, what's that long wire? I go, okay. All right, between the headset and the phone, it's not wireless. But between the phone and the wall jack, that part's wireless. She goes, oh, well, I guess that's kind of wireless. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you running yours through your computer, or are you dialed in?
Through my computer.
Oh, yeah, this one doesn't go through the computer.
Yeah, this one goes through the computer. It's a USB.
Yeah, okay, but when you go into the webinar, doesn't that cause you an issue? You can go into the webinar using the USB headset, but you can't play any sound files on your computer. Because a USB headset bypasses the sound card on your computer. Yeah. Anyway, nobody needs to know all of that. I probably talked about that way too much. So what else do you see in the markets, Doug? Enlighten us, brother. You have some great insights.
This morning, I was seeing that as more of a performing leg and shoulder pattern at the top on the 4181. We had that 24 number called out since October, so in October we saw 2400, first area on that long position nailed it and went in first, and so I expected to see some sort of pivotal move in this area. I'm going to be in right now. And so we saw that this morning as a little bit of a head and shoulder pattern with that diversion off of the 4181. Diverges off that area, so had a couple trades down initially with the 33 and then the 25 for the second target. And got the growth. So it's based off of a bigger roll and seeing a bigger roll there on the break.
Hey, you know, Doug, I don't know if it's just me, but I can hear you talking in the background, but I just can't understand you. Can you guys understand, Doug?
It's like he's talking into the speaker, you know, like you're talking to a speaker. And
yeah. How about you, Michael? Can you hear?
I can't understand what he's saying either.
Yeah. You know, Doug, I hate, I know that what you, I want to hear what you're saying, but the problem is I can't hear you, and I don't know how to correct that.
I'll try anyway.
Now, I do know that Doug was talking about the NQ just now, and this morning.
Yeah, it sounded like the NQ and then like a potential head and shoulders top or a head and shoulders formation. And
yeah, this morning in the live training room, we had a we were actually trading the YM. But I had pointed out a couple of entries on the NQ. One of them was right here at 2347. And then the other one that I pointed out was this one here. So there was a nice short and a nice long. We don't typically trade the NQ, but I know that a lot of people have an interest in it. And some people actually prefer it. Doug definitely prefers the NQ. When he trains students, he always trains them on the NQ. Mike Reed likes the NQ on certain days, depending upon market conditions. And then there was another short entry that I don't know that we necessarily highlighted this morning in the room, but there it is. And so those are all moves that were based upon our indicators and setups that we use. It's pretty clear. The 6E right now is trapped inside of a weekly trading zone, 13.810 to 13.815. It's been trapped in that zone now for about an hour. We had a nice, when the ES dropped, the YM dropped, the NQ dropped, the 6E dropped as well, and now it's just been kind of bouncing back and forth like a pinball right there. Hey there, Mike Reed.
Hello, Dwayne.
How are you, buddy?
Don't interrupt you here.
No.
Good to have you with us.
Someone's typing very loudly, Keith. You're right.
Yeah. I think it's Mike.
That would be me. That would be me. Sorry.
Back off the iced tea there, Mike. Mike.
I know. I am pounding the iced tea today.
So, Mike Reed, how are you, my friend?
Oh, doing well, Dwayne. Thank you. How you guys doing?
Good. Were you trading the NQ today?
This morning, yes, I was. 2362 was the high. That was just above yesterday's high. And it was moving better than the ES was, as it did yesterday. Yesterday it was weaker on the downside, and then till late in the day. On the ES, the gap up was just about 5 points above yesterday's close, but not 5 points over yesterday's high. It was only a couple points above, a point and a half above yesterday's high in the open. So on a Tuesday, and you have a gap of less than 5 points, odds are that's going to fill on that day. And it didn't really stop there. It just kept on going. 13.12 and a half to 13.10 is major support that we have.
Okay, what do you got now? 13 what?
12 and a half to 10.
Okay.
13.10 just is a symmetrical move. It dropped from 22.5 to 17.5. Subtract that off the 25 high. It gives you 13.10. But 13.12.5 is a key area. It was an old transition area.
Talking about this transition area right here? Or are you going back further than that?
We got it here. Yeah, just as you see, it just went by. But it was 1312 is just to your right a little bit.
To the right just a little bit? Okay.
There you go. Those last lows over here is what I'm looking at.
Over here?
If you go February 27th, low there on your middle.
Sunday night?
Is that around the 12th? Right in there, yeah. Looking at that area.
Okay.
And on the next day also?
Right. Yep, right here.
Right there on the, right in there. Oh, you have 13.10 also. I see that. Well, okay.
Yeah, that's a weekly that zone 09/10. Yeah.
Right. Okay, we got the 12.5, and that that met the objective here. This is a bunch of stuff down here, actually, on the way up. The 10 to 12 area is really key that we don't go under that and stay under that. That would not look good. And now we kind of stair-step down. You have to get that resistance at 13.17.5-18 area, but have my doubts that they'll get there. The way this is acted, it just seems they don't light it up at those higher levels, and I think that they get back. They do try to challenge those highs again. It's just they're going to be sold again.
How big a part do you think that Bernanke's testimony today has played into this? What little bit I listened to didn't sound too good.
Didn't sound too good? He's pretty happy about getting stock prices to double. flat out said that.
Is he taking credit for that now?
Oh, yeah.
I thought the president did that. It was actually Ben?
I don't know.
How are they going to split it?
Everybody.
I thought it was me. I thought I did it.
I didn't call that. I know that. but anyhow, I didn't catch the whole thing, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like the market likes what he said. I think this is going to probably happen anyways, but...
Well, there's a whole new SEC investigation, insider trading, Gupta and Goldman Sachs.
And yeah, I heard that. I heard that in the background, also CNBC something. Was that a Goldman?
Yeah. Yeah. So what's going to happen? Somebody's going to end up getting shot because you don't go poking around in Goldman's trash. You don't, you know, there's certain places you don't mess around and somebody's going to get hurt. I mean, this is the last bastion of old boy network kind of stuff, and yeah. I mean, not that I agree with what they're doing or what they've been allowed to get away with, but the fact that they've been allowed to get away with all that they've been allowed to get away with means they got, what's that song? How's that saying? I got friends in high places. These guys, the incestuous relationship they have with the U.S. government, they are their own friends in high places. They're in the high places. That's the issue. So whenever a little piece of this fabric starts to unravel, it's really quite interesting. It's almost like, you know, okay, we're the evil empire, and we got to throw the media a little bone every now and then. Every now and then we'll sacrifice one of our own just to, you know, keep the wolves at bay. You know, the angry villagers with their pitchforks and their torches. Throw them Gupta. We're done with him anyway. You know, and they'll gnaw on him, and we'll go on about our business, and we'll make another couple $1 billion this year. Oh, I don't know, maybe $5-10 billion. Whatever, you know. It's a few billion among friends. So. All right, Mike, you got any training camps coming up yet on the calendar for this year?
I'll start to think about that. I have another good week.
Okay.
Physically. So.
Now your internal indicators, Mike, that you use, your volatility and all of that kind of stuff. Have we seen the top for a while, or do you think we got more to go? And I'm talking big picture.
No, I. It depends how we close out. We got through the first. Everything was like giving buy signals. I told you last time, and we had the end of the month also, and first day of the new month. And it's, I think, you know, that good part, the seasonal bias, end of the month, and this, and then we topped off today. It appears to me that they, I think, if they do rally back, they're just going to get sold again. That's that they don't like it up there, and to see them rally right back up and take out today's high and go and march higher, right? I'd be very surprised. The market has been expecting each sell off to come roaring back. You know, every day stock comes back. You buy them low, you'll get them back. And the declines have been kind of orderly, and then able to get them rallying again. And when that doesn't happen, which I'm thinking that today is the day that things change. The market mood, the market psyche has changed. And they got too complacent on this last run up. If you look at the VIX, it went from way up there and it dropped fast, pretty fast and hard. So they're eager to buy into it, and now they're trapped at, you know, 1330, 1328, whatever up there. And just think that they get back up there, we'll see good resistance and have a hard time making much headway. And maybe at best a trading range. You know, 12 and a half here so far. The next area would be around the 1308. And that's kind of the last brick in the wall on the downside, isn't it? I think that'll be key here at the end of the day. We go and close under 13. If we close under that 13.12 and a half area, then we have a bad looking chart. And given the degree of the sell off, last time we had a drop similar to this, the VIX jumped up 26%. Today it's up 7%. So we don't have any kind of capitulation type selling. Looks like it needs a few more days.
Okay. Michael, Bert, anything you guys want to weigh in with?
I actually just sent out a message to everyone. To everyone that was in the. It was in the morning session. The last couple trades that we put on, one on the ES and one on the YM, they both went on to win. And there was another YM just a few minutes ago here that excuse me, was going into the weekly trading zone, which in that particular case you probably would have been looking for just to get the 10 ticks out of it. It did go into the weekly trading zone for a 10-tick gain, moving the stop up to break even plus a tick. Came back up, took out the stop, then it had a follow-up that went on all the way down for an 18-tick gain. 12.116 is where support is printing on the YM right now. 12.116 is where support is printing on the YM. All right, so we're right at the weekly trading zone, and we'll see if we're going to break through it. All right, that's what I had.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, right now with the ES and with the YM, we're at a weekly trading zone, so we're just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen.
We are, and we're setting up a little bit of a double bottom right here in this weekly trading zone. You can see this well on the 10,000 contract chart. And the right cheek, if you will, a little doji right there, and it dipped just a little bit lower. Now, when David comes on here in just a minute, I'll have him talk about this, but this is something that David has mentioned that he likes. When on the test of the low, it goes just a little bit lower. Okay. See, I kind of like it when it shows weakness and doesn't quite make it as low. But David, on the other hand, I'll have him talk about this in just a second when he comes on. So, what we would be looking for here on the 10K, we got our bearish cross up here, and the market sold off nicely, found support at the zone. So we would now look on the 10K for a bullish cross, then move back up into that 24, 25 area.
You looking for the entry music?
No, I was trying to read a message from Bert and put it all together. I'm trying to figure that out. You know, Mike, you typed in something the other day, and maybe you can talk about this for just a second while I cue up the intro there for our buddy. You typed in a number of swings that had taken place over the last couple days. And really what that, I'll let you go into detail, but really what you were trying to point out is that compared to what we saw the last few months of 2010 and the first month of this year, it was very little volatility. But in fact, volatility is back and quite nicely. So can you talk about that a little bit? I mean, you must have typed in, I don't know, 10, 12 swings of pretty significant ranges.
Yeah, I think at that time we had, for the week, we had like 23 different swings that were 4.75 points on the ES or more. I just was showing you that, the market's gotten volatile, and that there was good swings in both directions, and for day trading, just needed to be patient for, you know, if you're bullish or bearish, pick your zone and wait for the market to move, to fizzle out one direction or the other, and get a counter trend move. It was, you know, the market's loosened up and is willing to move around. So, and all that volatility, and the size of those moves were not like we had, like you said, at the end of the year. The daily range was. We're lucky to have an 8-point range, but we had swings that were on average over the last several days, average 6 to 8 points, just an average move. So I do keep a swing chart, the high to low to high to low, that are like that, and I think keep an eye on those for clusters, clusters with old highs and lows. Not only see it in the spreadsheet or on the chart, but also in a spreadsheet. It's easy to look across the rows.
Okay.
In any case, just you know, if you're bullish or bearish, there's opportunities both ways every day. Number one, don't chase the move, because there's another one right around the corner, one that lasts real long in either direction, unless, you know, they got some good momentum behind them. But generally, they go, at most, they've gone about 12 points or so before you get to some kind of a volatility today, until you get some kind of retracement.
And what you just said is very important, is that people can be patient because there's another move around the corner. Where if you go back, you know, even just a few weeks ago, and in particular the latter part of last year, that was not so much the case. The markets were just very flat. And if you could get one good move a day, if you get two good moves out of the day, wow, That was you had to make your week there. But to see this volatility return, you know, trading intraday, of course we want them, you know, we want what's good for the economy and for America and for the American people, but trading intraday, whether the market's going up or down, it's not really that important to the big picture, but for intraday traders, it's very important, because unless the river's flowing, it's slim pickings. You get mired up in the mud. So it's good to see the river flow again. Now, I know that all of you have heard our friend talk about the fancy suit that he's going to be wearing, and I just wanted to show it to you all this morning. He actually went out and bought the original suit worn by Robert Conrad as Agent James T. West in the classic television. This is it right here, folks, and you'll see him wearing that live on stage in beautiful downtown Las Vegas. Here he is, Mr. Las Vegas, the man who needs no introduction. I'll introduce him anyway.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, good morning, David. You know, I just love that little whimsical trombone slide in there.
I know.
That is beautiful.
I love that whole song.
Did you see your suit?
Anyway, good morning, Dwayne and Mike Reed. How are you?
Hello, David.
Did you see your suit? David?
What's that?
Hey, David.
David?
Hey,
yes?
I had your suit up on the screen there. Did you see it?
I got a nice birthday present over the weekend. I got the Time Life collection of the Wild West.
Did you really?
60 shows. Yeah, 100 and some shows to watch.
Well, invite me over because I'm on my way. I mean, a bowl of popcorn and some cheese nips, and I'll be in front of that thing all as long as you want to watch it. I can watch every last one of them.
It was pretty neat. Brought back memories watching that.
That is really cool.
The very first episode.
Yeah, the very first episode. That's the one with Artemis standing outside with the train that comes up, and they're taking James West in to see the president, and they had to transport him looking like a prisoner. And I remember the very first episode.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Well, that's good for you. I didn't know that you were a fan of that show.
Oh, yeah. Yep. He was the original James Bond of the West. Huh?
Yeah, it's the James Bond of the West. It's a high-tech, space-age Western. What a great thing. That's wonderful, Mike.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of neat.
Okay, now, David, were you looking at the screen?
Yes, I am looking at the screen.
Okay, so you see that you can have the original suit for this money right here.
How much is it?
$7,000 to $9,000. You got a bid on it.
Wow, that's the real James West suit?
It's a real deal.
I want that. I actually do want that. That is so funny.
And in fact, this particular website here, let's see, where was I? WildWildWest.org.
WildWildWest.org. I'm going to check that out because I actually want that.
So you can buy all things Wild Wild West memorabilia, but what agency did he work for? Who knows that?
Secret Service.
Uh-uh.
Secret Service. No.
Well, I don't know. According to this, it says CIA somewhere.
No.
Oh, right here, Secret Service agent.
Tailored
suits for Secret Service agent, incorporating elements of matador and flamenco dancer.
Right.
Conrad made the costume into an extension of his TV character, a high-living, physically adept, and smartly attired action hero. That's my friend David Williams.
There you
are. A high-living, physically adept, and smartly attired action hero.
There you have pinned me down. You know, I have to confess, you're correct. I don't know. I just have to admit it.
That's good.
Forced me into a corner. Okay, I wanted to get to the market real quick here. The Wild Wild West is wonderful. I'm going to check out that site. But there's a lot of things happening. I just wanted to say real briefly, and I've been on listening to what Mike has been covering as well. couple things. We're in an unusual position here. Under normal conditions, this market will advance as long as we stay above 1311, 1312, confirmed, you know, hourly closes above that level. We'll go up to 22 right now into today's fifth or sixth hour.
Okay.
That's where we would head up to under these conditions. So, in other words, the market's come down and it's tested 1312. As long, and I heard Mike say that that's an important level, that's a support level in our work. As long as they close above that, we will head right up into the fifth or sixth hour to 1322. You might as well just buy the silly thing because they're firming up here, or you can use any technique that you want to buy it. In order for us to get down to 1312, we had to do something unusual. That's an unusual position for the market, at least in our work. And so now, in order to fix that position, to correct what they did, they have to go up to 1322 in today's fifth or sixth hour. So there you are. I wanted to get that out quickly because
okay.
we're in today's fourth hour right now. And so for those of you who want to make some money and save up for the James West suit, this would be a good way to do it.
Now, yesterday, I want to point out that this little square right here, yesterday, this was an important bottom for you in your work. In this, you said in this candle, this time frame. And I don't know if you were referring to a 30-minute chart, David, but because I had
I happened to be looking at a 30-minute chart at the time. So,
okay.
Yes, that was a reflected wave bottom right
okay.
there.
Right here, guys, this one.
Yeah.
Right here. And so the market, I mean, gee, nice call.
Told you. I told you so. You people just can't. you keep doubting me. I'm telling you. No, that was I was just demonstrating again for those people who are going to the seminar, the Reflected Wave Seminar. They're going to learn exactly why definitively that was the bottom for yesterday and that the market would go higher. We did have a roadmap, by the way, that we didn't publish based off of that as well. We actually had two things coming together. Two separate techniques, again, the thing that we talked about so many times, and I think Mike Reed probably thinks along these lines as well, that if you have two completely non-correlated things that are giving you a piece of information, it can be very powerful, as long as they're not correlated, because that's the important thing. If they're correlated, if they're really the same thing expressed differently with different lines and different colors, you're not getting that non-correlated part. Mike, do you use something like that in your own trading as something where you're using two separate indications that are not related to each other?
Yeah, in a way. As far as it goes, you count like the internals of the market versus price. That's not necessarily correlated.
Yeah.
It's not like a MACD and a stochastics or
stochastic,
something like
right,
that.
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about is where people would believe that they're looking at two separate things, but in reality they're not. They're looking at the same thing expressed differently. And so I really like non-related, non-correlated things coming together. But that was just a simple reflected wave bottom. And then the roadmap was calling for a 10-point move, which is exactly what we got. So anyway, now for today, just in case, because today has been unusual, I just want to throw this in there. The normal position is for the market to go up to 22, and to do that in the in today's fifth hour, plus or minus an hour. We're in the fourth hour right now. If we were to break that, and Mike alluded to this earlier, if we break 12, break 11, with real meaning behind it, they're going to take this thing down hard, and you're going to see 1301 or lower. So I'm not looking for that. I'm not forecasting that directly, but you have to be aware that that would be what the market would do on the downside if we broke today. Because of the position of the market, because in spatial relationships, the fact that they did something unusual gives us a whole bunch of other information. On the way to unusual, you take a loss. You have to pay for unusual, right? I mean, if you're looking for something else to happen and they show you something unusual, that costs you money. You have to buy that information. But once you've purchased that information, then you have a really good indication of what the market's going to do because of the way these things lay out. You know, I'm sure everybody who has their own trading technique kind of has something similar to that, where, wow, they really did something weird here, but now this means this. And so that's kind of what we did today in spatial relationships. So we should see higher prices here, and you know, this could be just a, we have a new kind of order, Mike. It's a B, let's see, BTBS order. I think it's buy the silly thing. That means instead of waiting for a pullback and waiting for all the different indications, you know, it's just time to, you know, buy the thing. I'm not saying for sure that's where we are here, but we've been joking about that. Because sometimes the move is on, and you just, you know, if you wait, sometimes they just run them, and you just, you miss out, and it might be better just to take a larger risk and be in for that move. Okay, so we got the S&P, fifth hour, 22 on the upside, or my name isn't James West, and any break of 1150 would send us, you know, sharply lower. Now, real quick, let's switch over to gold, because this was another market that we talked about the last couple of days. We had forecast on your program yesterday that if gold got above 1416, it would rally to 1425. We did that in today's session. They jumped right over it.
Which gold are we on, J1?
We're on April. So gold did the this, you know, in for realistically, for people who were really just realistically trading, by the time this market opened up this morning at 1422, you know, honestly, there might have only been $300 in the trade because they did a lot of it on the overnight. But we talked about this yesterday, and I talked about it with Bert. You buy the thing, you buy the silly thing on the breakout, and you hold it for 25, and then you hold your remaining position to see, you know, what they can do on the upside there. So gold
take it.
Completed that.
Dwayne, you want me to take the chart?
Why do I appear to be stumbling around?
No, not at all.
Bert, do I appear to be struggling?
What sensitive people we're dealing with here, Bert.
Dwayne and I are having fun today. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you know what, Bert, if you got a good gold chart, because mine's acting a little finicky here, so...
I got a magic
chart. You see that one little tiny dot, Dwayne, that was right around 3,000 or whatever it was? Scroll down some.
Scroll down to 3,000? This is a predictive
2400,
chart.
2400.
This is where we're going to be.
That little
soon.
Black dot right there?
Yeah.
Click on that, delete it.
Bam. Okay.
Okay, now look for other ones just like it.
I'm just going to give
the
chart.
Problem,
can you make Bert an organizer?
Tools in there. Yeah. Did we, I think
he already is. Okay, Bert, I'm going to make you the presenter.
So Bert can take
them. There you go, Bert. You got it. There we go.
All right, so this is gold. And this is what David is talking about. This is kind of what we alluded to yesterday. You were going to buy it on a stop or buy it on momentum.
Mm-hmm.
That was your play. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. This was it. This is what David was talking about. All right. So this is the play. Basically, anything above this high, right, buying it on a stop, right?
Right.
Buying it on momentum. Now, the good thing is you can place these orders in the middle of the night. So in the event that gold is going to get, you know, if David's calling for a parabolic move to the upside or downside, you can capture it by going in with momentum, and that means you need to buy it on a stop. So the order would read something like this last night: buy 1 April gold at 1418 or 1416 on a stop. Okay? And then your risk, like we were talking about yesterday, would have been anything under 1407 or 1406, which was this low, right? And the target was 24, and potentially higher, because on a daily, you're still looking at the old high at 1434, which looks like it's in a legitimate shot in the next couple of days here.
Yeah.
So
24/25 was the target, and then we try to hold for any other thing that they might be able to do on the upside. This actually, I want to make clear for people, though, we had originally, this was actually originally going to be a top on February 24th. That's originally what we called for. and in spatial relationships you can have an inversion. You can't have an inversion really on reflected wave, which is a turning point methodology. But in this you can, and the market did invert, and so the move we were talking about really was from the February 25th bottom up to 1425. But we couldn't know that for sure because of the way the market handled 1416, and they closed below it yesterday, and then today they gapped above it. That's why I'm saying that for realistic purposes, you either had to buy this on the overnight, which is realistic, or you just woke up this morning and they were already at 1422 and you had to sort of buy the silly thing for an advance to complete 1424, 1425, and then hold for any other targets above that. So we're good to go on gold. It was a nice move, and this is further confirmation for me that we have the correct base number for gold, because it, you know, we've had a couple of calls in gold that have been correct. We need some more work with it to, you know, really understand and make sure that we have it right. But this was a nice move. It was just a little tricky to trade it, you know, so what's new? Okay, I have one other thing that we'll go over real quick, and that is the euro. This is Michael Bork's I think.
David, you have to shower after the show.
Oh, I usually shower before the show.
Or before. There you go. Thank you.
Okay, no, I'll get it. I just wanted to get my hair wet just a little bit. Okay. I have to tell you right now with regard to the euro, and we're talking about the March euro, this is also a market that would... we're waiting for a close above 138.05 on the daily chart. If we get a close above 138.05, that indicates higher prices and a test or an attempt at 139.22. That's a tradable move. I mean, if we were to close at, say, 138.40, just as an example, on the day, then you have from 138.40 all the way up to 139.22, you know, 922 minus 840, just roughly, that's 82 ticks times 1250. That's a $1,000 move in this market. They have not shown their hand yet, and at this point, I would wait because this is another market that may have inverted. In other words, we were calling for a top on the 25th, and it may have actually been a bottom on the 28th, the one trading day later, for higher prices. So I'm waiting on this one, and then, you know, then you'd have to jump in and trade it if they give us that confirmation. But a daily close above 138.05 would be an important early sign. And you can see we've had 3 days now where they've not been able to do that. But the market still is in an uptrend. So I'm waiting. I actually want to trade this one as well. Honestly, I missed the gold because they gapped up and I didn't take, you know, there was... For me, it was like, okay, well, there's $200 or $300 left before the initial target. I decided to step, you know, just not to worry about it. This market I would like to take if the situation comes up and they show us what we want to see. So that's basically the – we've been talking about this for a number of days. That's basically what we've got going right now. I think that's about it. And then we want to watch the S&P, of course. They're pulling back now and – double check that level I talked about, that 1311.50, 1312, right in that area, is very important. So we'll wait till a little later today, but that's what we're looking for. We have a nice trade on the upside if they confirm here. If they break it, which is, again, an unusual position, they've already shown us some unusual things, then you can count on seeing sharply lower prices at, you know, 1300, 1301 in very fast order, if they do break it. So how they handle this, we're kind of at a critical juncture right here and right now, especially into today's fifth hour.
Yeah, right around this little area here, this 1415, which is a weekly trading zone for us. Since we pulled into this zone for the first time this morning, we've traded 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 200, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 93. About 320,000 contracts in and around this one-point range, 1415. So that tells you right there that it really is an important area. Michael, what's the total volume on the day?
Give me just a second. I'll tell you what that is. 1.86 million, with about 350,000 of that being pre-market.
So we've got about,
okay, so about 1.5.
1.4.
Okay.
Yeah, 1.5, 1.45.
All right, and of that 1.5, we've traded 350,000 in roughly, you know, give or take, this 1 point range. 16 to the upside, 13 to the downside. So really about a 3 point range centered around the 14-15 area. And that's happened in an hour. So that's really it. You're correct in saying, David, that this is really kind of a make or break area here. Now, if you said if it does drop, what kind of numbers you got on the downside?
Well, as an example, an hourly close roughly below, you know, 13.11
mm-hmm.
would this is, and again, this is, we look at it a little differently. It's not that we would be concerned about support and resistance levels on the way down. It actually would be sort of a wide open break.
Okay.
Short term.
Okay.
A wide open break for a move down to 1301, 1300, or lower. And so that's why it's very critical what they're doing here. This test is very, very important. And there's a reason, there's a, you know, there's a spatial relationship reason why that would occur if they break that. You can't always say that if they break this level, they're just going to have a wide open break. It has to, there's certain conditions that have to be there. We don't know all those conditions, but we certainly know the ones when they, the ones that we do know,
mm-hmm.
we know. And there's a sentence for you. This is one of those conditions. So if the market, it probably pays to just let the market show its hand here and miss some of the move to be sure, because it's going to be tricky. And it's a critical moment, especially leading into the fifth hour here. So. And we're finishing up the fourth hour in 27 minutes, so I'm biting my nails here, watching. But I want to be really, really certain that people understand that if you happen to be long and they break 1150 or close below that, you know, do not stay with that position and hope for you know, a return to, you know, that lets you out, because it'll probably be a pretty quick move. So that's why this is so critical here. They can go a little bit lower here. We've only, the today's low has been 1250, and
right.
really about 1150-ish or so, 12 to 11, right in that area. That's the area that they would want to test and touch, and then we'll see how they handle that area. But like I said, today has shown unusual behavior. We took a loss earlier on a trade that we had taken in the S&P because of the unusual behavior. This is this sets up a really good potential gain, either on the long or short side. Under normal conditions, the market would reverse from here, as we talked about earlier. But today hasn't been real normal, so that's why I'm going to use extra caution here before we get. But you have all the numbers. That's what we're looking at, and. So gold is, you know, we can wait for gold to finish up its move. There's probably another setup happening in gold. And also I do want to remind people that there is something big occurring in soybeans as well. I mentioned on your program the other day that both March 1st and March 2nd, today's the 1st, would mark, normally would mark a bottom in soybeans. So today is March 1st. We've gone down. We've made a new recent low here. I'm going to be careful with this as well, but a sizable advance would come out of this move right from where we are. So let's just say, as an example, you know, that if the bottom was already in, you know, we'd be talking about soybeans going from roughly where we are up into, you know, 1380s or something, a nice move, if not larger. So... and we put it in our report also that March, you know, the same business that March 1st, you know, a bottom on March 1st or 2nd would produce a very powerful reversal and an advance that would be quite tradable, multi-day advance. So I'm really interested in the soybeans as well. This information is available on our soybean messenger for people who want to trade in this market. We don't trade in it every day, but this can have multi-day moves and very fast intraday moves that can be very profitable. So this is a market to watch, and we're coming into a very important period, both March 1st and March 2nd. For me to trade this, I would tend to want to start a position today, and if I'm stopped out of it, wait for further confirmation, and start it again, because I can afford to lose 2 or 3 cents a couple times if I have to, if I'm looking for a 30 to 35 cent move. I mean, that's 10 times that.
Right.
So there's some real potential for this particular move on soybeans. But let's give them a little more time. I might even wait until tomorrow. If they do gap up tomorrow, I'm just going to buy it. You know, if they you know, because they've been doing that. Gold did that. I missed that trade. You know, you have to step up. They make it, you know, risk and reward are related. They're not just cousins. They're brothers and sisters. You know, they're real close.
The forecast is for it to go higher. Is that it?
Yeah, normally March 1st or 2nd would mark a bottom on, this is May soybeans, and then we would have a reversal and an advance of about 33 cents or so on the upside off of that low, and possibly double that. That's what's in the report. So, I mean, we could have a really sizable move off of this. That's the equivalent of 33 points in the S&P. You know, it's a boatload of points.
It is.
So, you know, there's nano trading and then there's whammo trading. A little humor there from Michael Bork. That's the small and the large. All right.
All right. Got it.
All right. It took a little time, I know. Okay. Whammo trading is when you get into a multi-day move and, you know, your prices are substantially distant from where you were, and you can make a big chunk of change in a small period of time.
Name one item manufactured by the Whammo Corporation.
Oh, God, remember the Whammo Corporation. What was it? Frisbee?
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Nope.
Frisbee?
What?
Yo-yo. Neither one of those?
Well, yo-yo? Actually, you could have all been right. I don't know. The one I was thinking of.
Well, why are you telling us no? nope. That ain't it.
I was thinking of the Wheelo.
Oh, the Wheelo.
That was a lot of fun. I could play with one of those right now if I had one.
Yeah, that's the magnetic, the wheel with the magnetic thing, and it rolls back and forth on that piece. And, you know, Bert's old enough. Michael Bork, I'm not sure if you're old enough. Mike Reed, I'm not sure how old Mike is. But
Mike Reed already had to leave, and Michael Bork's on his way out the door.
Yeah.
And Len said to you, David, things we know and things we don't know, the known and the unknown, things we know about the unknown, but other things not known of the unknown. Is that what you said
and
earlier?
Is that relating to something that I said?
I think it's what you stumbled into that earlier. You were talking about.
Oh, right. That's funny. That is funny. Okay, yeah, because we were saying the thing we know. So that's funny. Anyway, here we are. You know, we're at a critical point, and it should be interesting. And don't be afraid to trade this. If the market shows you unusual behavior, you know, there's an opportunity right behind that. Very much like what Mike Reed said. There's a move right around the corner. Well, in an unusual market like this, there's a move right around the corner as well, and we're very close to that corner. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them test 1150 or slightly lower here. And if they do, and if they do that in the fifth hour, because that could very well happen, that would be the launching point or the breakdown point, like I said before. So we'll trade this. And, you know, I like to, for me, I like to give up some of the, you know, potential extra money and be more certain and get in the trade when it really starts to show its hand so that I don't have to sit through a lot of the real uncertainty that can happen in a move like this, because for those of you, just in case it did break via 1311, you do not want to sit with a position waiting for them to come back and let you out at a break even if you went long or something there. So I want to see a little bit more confirmation here. You know, we're starting to get it. The market is still testing this level here. And so I'm excited to see this. This is one of the things that makes me a market, you know, enthusiast. That we're at one of these.
Robert said, what happened to buy the silly thing right now that you were talking about earlier?
Well, I'm sorry, what was the question?
The buy the silly thing right now earlier you had mentioned.
Right, it was talking about for the S&P. Is that what he's talking about? I'm not sure.
I just know you brought that up earlier, and I don't forget
what Mark, I was talking to Mike about, you know, I'll just buy the silly thing. I wouldn't do that necessarily until we get a little more confirmation here, but I was explaining to Mike Reed about the buy the silly thing, and maybe he's asking about that. That just means once the confirmation is there, then waiting, instead of, once you have confirmation on a move, some of the move is already gone, but then in many cases you can just buy the silly thing. Just don't worry about waiting for special pullbacks or anything like that. You can just get in because the move, you know, is probably, in many cases, will be very fast and it'll be over. I could have and probably should have done that with gold this morning, but it was most of the move that I was forecasting had already completed, and so I was not in the gold move this morning. I've already taken a loss in attempting the euro because they've closed the last 2 days below 138.05, and I attempted to go long in that market. Small, it was reasonable, it was like a $250 loss, but the fact is that that market is poised for a move as well. There's a lot of, you know, when you start looking at these markets, you can see there's a lot of things connecting these markets together, and a lot of them are doing, you know, gold's done its thing, but the euro is next. And if it does break out on the upside, we have a sizable move either way coming, and we're quite tradable. So I've said this before, and I think, Dwayne, you alluded to it. I sometimes prefer, not that I like to get stopped out with a loss, but I actually prefer to have that happen on critical setups, because then when the move gets underway, it's often larger than originally forecast. The trickier they get, the bigger the move is. And so that's why I always say that there's always the market's almost always tricky before a big move, because that's quite often how I measure whether or not I want to stay in for a longer, you know, hold, try to hold for higher prices and hold for targets that I don't even have. Basically, just let the market run. So if it's very tricky, then you quite often will see a much bigger move than even the initial forecast.
Okay, so, I guess the comment you had made earlier that a listener had a question about was that earlier you had said something about get in then for an advance to 1322.
Yes, the 1322 is the normal position for the market a little bit later today, and if the market confirms here at the 1312, 1311 thing numbers, then I was going to say buy the silly thing. Then you could use your own indicators, or you can just buy the silly thing here. Now we're at 1315 right now, so you know, let's just say that in 15 minutes the market, you know, firms up and we have a pretty decent close and this and that and the other. Then I'm starting to get more interested in picking up a move on the long side here.
Now, since I calculated the numbers, we've traded another 60,000 contracts right around that one-point range, 14 to 15.
Okay. Is that a lot of contracts?
It is.
Yeah, okay.
Because, I mean, it puts us at 400,000 in this one-point range, and we're at something like 1.5 on the day session. So,
yeah, okay.
I would say that's pretty substantial.
Yeah. I think one of the things I could suggest to people is that there's quite a bit of information in the market when it doesn't do what it normally does. And for everybody has that happen to them. You see the market, you understand a certain thing about it, and then it does something you don't, it's like, wow, that was weird. I don't know where that came from. That's when you should study the market. That's a good thing to take a look at, because there's a lot of information in that type of behavior, in what you could call unusual behavior. Remember, it's only unusual to you or to me because we have a way of looking at the market. But I have found that when you see unusual behavior, that there's quite a bit of potential insight and learning that you can get from a move like that, like perhaps what we had today on the downside here, a bigger than normal reversal. And so that has in the past been good for me, because I look at it and I go, now that's weird. Let's take a look at this. And then you really, you kind of turn on your thinking cap a little bit, and you can really sometimes find some good information or good new insight that can help you put trades together when you see unusual behavior again. It's never exactly the same, but you get themes, you know, where you kind of understand the theme of it and you can put a trade together. And I think everybody does this in their own way. I'm verbalizing it just for the sake of saying that there has been, for me, there's been a lot of good learning lessons in the unexpected, the unusual, and so that has helped me quite a bit, you know, in trading. So something for people to consider when they're when they find their own system doing something, or the market doing something that's not quite normal in their own system. See, they're pressing on this thing right here. We're still pressing, and like I said before, I'm okay with them testing 1311.50 area. like that. But if we break it and we start to get a close below that, then you don't want to be long. You don't want to wait around for them to let you out. It would be much better to not do that. So finally, so let's just recap real quick, because I know we've done a lot of talking here. We're at a critical juncture right now on the downside. If we continue to close above 13.1150 on the hourly, roughly right in that area, then we're looking for a reversal, a very nice trade up to 13.22 or higher. If we break that level, it's going to be a wide open break, and it would cause the market to go sharply lower, down to 1300, 1301, or lower levels in short order. So I'm giving both sides out here, because normally this trade wouldn't have two sides to it. Normally this is something that would just have one side to it, but because of this morning's early behavior and the fact that it's unusual, it means something bigger is in preparation. So we'll take that, you know, take that as it is. I hope that's useful to those of you who are putting your own trades together, and maybe this information is that non-correlated bit that might be able to, you know, be helpful to you. So Dwayne, real quick, you guys look at the gold, you look at crude, and you look at, that's the one other market that I haven't addressed.
I'm sorry, which one? The crude?
You guys look at crude as well. And
yeah,
that's
you should
one
have
other,
a look
that's,
at the crude.
Can I take a shot at crude?
Take a shot.
Well, what we have on the phone here, I don't know if it's... okay.
Lynn and Alan both were asking what your outlook, your bigger picture daily type outlook for the S&P, longer term outlook for the ES is. I don't know if you've covered that or not, but they both just asked a question, so I thought
okay.
I would pass that along. Now, as far as your question on the crude, we're currently trading, which contract are we on? Which contract are we on, Bert?
April.
April.
Are we on April or May?
April.
April. Okay.
There's a picture of the April crude on a daily.
Are you pulling that up on your charts, David?
I already have it up on my chart. I'm sorry. Were you waiting for me?
Yeah. Bert was going to bring it up.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
Okay, Bert, did you want to do something, or?
No, I have the chart up so everyone can see it.
Okay. Normally, yesterday, February 28th, would be a bottom. It already looks like it was. It wasn't quite a, you know, it came, you know, it didn't quite make a new low. This is on April, on April gold. And I want to give you a rough idea of where this would normally go.
You just said gold. You meant crude, though, right?
I'm sorry, crude. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry.
Sure.
Just give me one second here. So if we take that, I'm just trying to see if there is a trade in here, and did we already do it? Okay, yeah, we've already. Okay, well, so there you are. Don't have a lot to tell you because we just basically a lot of build up for nothing. There was a nice move up from the bottom that would normally be placed yesterday. And so today, they've already done the minimum amount up, which I forgot what crude is in terms of point value and how much you make on it, but I think it's $10 per tick.
Correct.
Okay. There is another important date for crude. As long as we're not just, you know, blowing through the roof here, as long as we're, you know, not doing some huge, huge thing, the next important date for crude is on March 3rd. And that date for crude will, now this is new, I'm not an expert in crude or in any of these markets. The next date is March 3rd, and that date, tomorrow I'll give you the move that we're expecting out of that, March 3rd, 2011.
Okay.
There's an important setup for crude. So I'd like to be able to give some of those things out if we can, you know, we're testing these things to see if they work with our particular approach. And so I think that, Dwayne, I think...
Back to the big picture on the ES, the guy said that question.
We have been calling for the first... nothing's really changed. The first quarter of 2011. We've been making this forecast since November of last year. The first quarter of 2011
would be a top.
Would be a top. and that in our report we've mentioned that the month of February, there was a lot of, you know, this wasn't an outright forecast, but the month, there was a lot of indications for the month of February to mark that top. In other words, February is right in the middle, you know, you have the first 3 months, but there was a lot of stuff pointing to February as the monthly top inside of the quarterly, so we're thinking in multiple time frames. So far, that has been the case, and yet the trend is still very much intact. So that's our best, right now, that's the forecast as it stands right now, that the first quarter of this year would mark an important top. Between you and I, having said that, and that's what we've published, I have a preference. This is a little bit weird to say it this way, but I actually have a preference that I would like to see 1384, 1385 touched before I got too excited about the top. That's just a preference for me. That's not an absolute, you know, forecast or anything, but I would prefer to see that. I think given everything that the market's done over the last 23 months, 24 months, this pullback is normal. There's nothing unusual about this pullback at all. Nothing to me, anyway, that's unusual about it. I know there's a lot of big world events and a lot of scary stuff going on, but this market has marched through quite a bit of scary stuff and has just marched higher. It'll stop at some point, of course, but other than our forecast for a first quarter top and the, you know, the indications that February would mark that, I think we still want to be careful with shorting this, because I know a lot of, you know, more than a handful of traders who have lost substantial sums of money shorting this market because it just was overbought on some indicator. And so you do want to be really careful with that. So yeah, I'm looking at the charts in the quarterly, third quarter, or the first quarter of this year is the top. I hope that's answering the question. You know, that's longer term for me, is the quarterly stuff. So, or weekly or monthly. So, this weekend, for those of you who don't have our free nightly report, you can sign up and get it on the website on the left-hand side about midway down. And then we usually update that every week, in our report, and we give some relatively specific information about what we think the longer term outlook of the market is. So that's about it right now, but they haven't broken anything important. Everything that's happened over the last several days, including the bottom that they made, you know, we had the turning point reflective wave bottom on the 23rd, that bottom was completely normal. There was nothing wrong with what they did and what they touched and where they went to. Everything was normal. So they bounced off that. We've had a nice move up, and today is the first sign of any unusual behavior, and that's fine because the market goes through that and does that from time to time. So I hope that's helpful, and I'll try to tie it in. I'll tie in crude because we do have that March 3rd date. There might be a nice trade we can all take in crude as well, without having to worry too much about the overnight markets like we had to with gold. You know, that was a missed opportunity there. I think that's about it, Dwayne, for today.
All right, David. I think we covered.
You've got all these smart listeners. I just want to say this. You've got all these smart listeners. How come we don't have them making a forecast from time to time?
You know, some of them do.
Oh, okay.
And when they do, I often talk about it, unless they ask me to.
I'm just being playful, but I mean, I think that would be a fun thing if they wanted to. There's nothing wrong with, you know, we don't have to make it a one-way street. If they have something in their work, it's a good idea. It's like trading for somebody else's account. When you finally go public with your forecast, you're going to probably make pretty darn sure that you got your numbers together and you got your stuff together before you just go say it, right? The same way with trading for somebody else's account. You know, you'll do all kinds of damage to your own account, but when you're trading for someone else's account, you'll trade a whole lot more carefully. That's one of the things that I learned early on in my career, and I learned that I knew what good trading was without even knowing it because I was doing it in somebody else's account while decimating one of my own accounts.
Usually what happens is you end up just not trading at all.
Mm-hmm. That's probably true. But you wait around and then suddenly something might come up and you go, wow, that is, you know, that's so obvious I got to take it, you know.
Yeah, it played out that way for you, and that's a really great thing for you and for her and for what happened to you beyond that. But I've seen a lot of people, a lot of very bold people who were all that and a bag of chips, and they spent a whole lot of time and energy and hoorah gathering up people's money and talking about this and that and the other thing. And then I sat back and watched them for a year not trade the money. And
okay.
And then, you know, and I've seen this play out more than once, but in particular, and at the end of a year, it was kind of like, what a good job I did. I didn't lose any of your money.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of how I was going,
any of
to
my
be honest
money.
With you.
You know, I could have sat on it myself. Well,
yeah.
But anyway.
Well, that was my intention. That actually was my intention, and over time, you know, a situation comes up where you go, boy, that really is good. I'd love to make her a little money, and this could be that opportunity. I was also trading with options, which were much more comfortable to hold. I did everything I could to comfort myself when I was trading for her, and that comfort was to make just gosh darn sure that something was really happening, and I really had a high likelihood of winning. And I want to say this again. I did that for 3 years and made 100% per year in her account. The last year, we stopped trading her account about three quarters of the way through, and we were up at about 70% on that year. And I have all those statements. We had 3 years, and all I was doing was trading literally about once a month. And then we made 100% for 3 years in a row. The third year was a 70% year, but we stopped early. But that just goes to show that you don't have to trade an awful lot to have really good returns, and I'm wondering if, you know, trading less is maybe the better way to make the really big returns, because you're really waiting for the really easy and obvious, what we've talked about so many times, as opposed to trading the trying to take everything and turn everything into a trade. So one of the things I like about the longer term approach, the bigger picture approach, is that you're not trying to necessarily make every day a money-making day. You're not thinking in terms of, you know, I've got to make money today, and that's okay to do that. That actually is one of the things that day trading is all about. But for me, I found out that for longer term, if I just look at the month, all I'm really trying to do is end up with more money at the end of the month than I started with. Any given day doesn't therefore have to be too important to me. I don't have to really grind myself to say I have to make X number of dollars per day, and I specifically try not to do that, because I don't want to come in with that bias heavy on my shoulders that I've got to make a couple grand today or something. I think it's much, much better to think in terms of the month and just try to make money at the end of the month. This is just for my psychology. And then just let the day show you what it does. And then if they show you something good, maybe you step up and play. We're testing that 13.1150 that we talked about earlier right now. This is it. We're sitting at a critical level here. So we'll cover this tomorrow, Duane. I don't want to take too much of your time up here. I've been on for quite a bit. We'll go over this, and I'll probably have something for crude as well, hopefully. I'll have something for the March 3rd date, you know, some movement that we'll have, and we can put some trades together based on
okay,
that.
Okay, we got an hourly close coming up in 1 minute.
We just
four
had
seconds.
It. So
yeah, there we go.
Yeah, they closed right at 13.1150. There it is. So they're being very careful to not show their hand here, because that's the real critical level I mentioned earlier. And so this is it. Instead of I won't go into the complexities of it, but we're at a very critical juncture right here and right now. Everybody knows the numbers we talked about before. So let's let them run, and then I'll look forward to talking with you tomorrow.
Okay, take care.
Okay, you guys, thanks for the questions, Lynn and the others, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
All right, man.
Okay, talk to you then.
Okie doke. All right. Bird, I'll grab the chart back off you, unless you got something you want to show us.
No, I was just kind of along there.
Did good. You followed the bouncing ball quite well. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Doug Eckel, are you still around?
Yeah.
Hey. All right, there you are. You had a comment you typed in. Oh, your micro, we can hear you now. I had some people type in, we'd like to hear from Doug. If we could actually hear from Doug. So,
right.
I can hear you. I hear you beautifully now. Okay.
Yeah, it was just my audio setup was wrong. I had it reading through with some other microphone on the computer, so I didn't have to go into the headset. So you're actually hearing it from, actually as a bounce to the screen there. So.
You typed in a comment on the euro.
Yeah. Let me get back to that.
Let me go to a bigger time frame for a minute. That's really big.
Yes, on the euro I had typed in that the 38, I agree with that number, and if we get above there, I see it up to 41. I use the euro US dollar a lot of times for my longer term assessment. And so I had a key area, let's see, back in October at where I was looking at the high, and then I'm looking at that high from back there down to the low of January like 15th, and an 89% retrace of that. And if I break out of this little range that we've moved sideways in, then I see it going up into that 41 area, because the currencies a lot of times seem to turn and pivot at 89% areas. And so that's off of a daily chart on the euro US dollar. And how I utilize that intraday trading is I utilize closer than that, but so I can get into moves, I'll use those moves to tell me which trend direction to go in. And so then I know that if I'm in a bigger move that I want to take trend direction, going in that direction, and then every other trade that I take in the opposite direction is a counter trend, so my expectation is smaller on the counter trend trades than the longer trades. The longer I sit in the counter trend, the closer I'm coming to the end of the trade, because even if I'm moving sideways, I know that there's something big coming at me from down below, basically, on that, so I know that I'm going to counter trend actually can zero out a lot of times and still hit our targets, but yet it's just moved sideways. And so I utilize the longer term quite a bit in order to assess my trades. Like this morning on the NQ, I used the 4181 as a tick chart, and then I'll use the 6765 on the ES as a tick chart, and I'll use those to give me the plays. And like if you get below on the ES below that 10 area, then I see it getting down into that 01. And when we actually hit that 01 area, I see it as breaking there from a major trend line that's coming up on the daily. Back from, let me pull that up so I can see it here. On the daily, on the ES, that trend line is coming from September, then December, and now we've landed on it again on the daily. So I see if we get below that 1301 area, I see that as a big key area, and I expect it to go actually down to that and test that. I would see that. So the way I trade that is then look for areas in between there when I see breaks of major areas. If I got down to 01, I would leave the trade alone, and I would wait till it gets down to like 90 or 80 and then wait for it to pull back up to around that 1300. So I figure if we get below that trend line, we're going to put a top in below that trend line, and so it would take like get to 80, then pull back up to that 1300 area, and almost like a trader VIC or a retracement coming back on a daily, that then will put that turn in the market in. And so that's how. And on the NQ, we hit the 2400 mark, which to me was a real key area that we've been looking at since October. And when we hit that 2400 and it just held like a rock, that was telling me that the market, you know, was stalling there. And I could actually expect the NQ to go down to 2250 here before we're done with this counter trend.
Yeah, it's hard to see on this daily chart of mine because I've got so much annotation on it in a smaller time frame. But I don't know. Did you want to take the chart? I don't want to put you on the spot, but you can if you want to.
I got.
You
may.
I'll
do it next time. I'll clean up and I'll make a workspace just for talking to you.
Oh, okay.
So I can flip from chart to chart real easy.
It's really good to have you back with us. Good to hear your voice again. Slow and steady. And yeah, your take on the market, you always... And a couple of people in the room, they say, yeah, I get Doug back on, man. I said, well,
yeah.
He's got an open invitation. He's just busy. Now, our next level down for the week, we have a weekly trading zone right here.
Okay.
1300 and 1299. So if this thing continues down, that's where we're looking for. So some kind of support right in that area there. Now you said on the, so that's where we are. We're looking for this move down here. In fact, this move is on. What are we at? Yeah. To me, that looks like a good short, pretty good short entry. Just, I don't know. You guys may want to wait to see a break of this area that we've been discussing. But it was a good entry back here and here, and possibly again here. Now, I wanted to look real quick at the NQ chart, Doug, because I know that's one of your favorites. Intraday, what time frame are you using on the NQ? Are you using a range chart at all?
No, I just use tick charts.
That's what. Okay, that's what I thought.
233, 4181, either one of those. 4181 longer term. And this morning we just had the same setup last yesterday where we had a divergence on the longer term, and so my targets are typically 16 ticks on every trade, and so in order to take out the divergence on the 4181, I look for an entry on the 233 to take advantage of that. And when I look for a bigger move than 16 ticks, I'll look for something that has maybe a 7-8 point potential, and then I'll take 16 ticks out of the middle of it. But I like to look for areas where there's really nothing to really stop me, where I can't see trend lines or anything in between pivots, or those areas where I can get something to stop me, and then I just take the meat out of the move. I don't get at the very tippy top. I don't get at the very tippy bottom, but I wait for it to break first, then and then get in. And I don't try to anticipate or trade a break. I wait for it to break, show me, let the market show me its hand, and then I'll take the trade. And so this morning we had one at right after there's a typical pivot on the NQ. It's usually a lot of times at 8:33 there's a good pivot, a lot of times 3 minutes into the market time on the tick charts.
Man, tick chart 3 minutes, huh?
Yeah, I'm all about times too, so time and everything has a time reference to me, as far as
that's interesting.
Yeah, and so today with the unusual movement in the market, to me, with a lot to do with Bernanke speaking.
Yeah.
When he's doing question and answer, the market, it's like a landmine. I always tell everyone to be very careful because you don't know what you're stepping on.
Yeah, there's a big difference between when he comes out with just a prepared speech, which is released beforehand, and when he's actually fielding questions live in real time, because you don't know what question they're going to ask, and you don't know what his answer is going to be. And so it... apparently the market wasn't too crazy about what he had to say this morning.
No, it wasn't. And then we had it was like 8:30. What time did we take that? 8:30, about 8:35. So we had pivoted off the 33. We broke down below the low of the day and simply took to the break on the pullback for 16 ticks there. And just followed it, got into line with everything. And then on the target down at that point was down to 30. I think we had it at 33.
So when you say 16 ticks, just for clarification to the audience, you're talking about 4 points, correct?
4 points, correct.
Because the NQ is broken up, like the ES, into quarter-point increments, 0.25. So 16 ticks would be 4 points. So like over here, from 52 to 56, that would be 4 points or 16 ticks. Just want to clear that up for everybody, because we don't talk a lot about the NQ, or we haven't in the past talked a lot about the NQ on the show, but doesn't mean we won't. But want everybody to get up to speed, because we're on the ES, then we're on the YM, then we're on the, you know, we're on gold, we're on beans, we're on crude, and they all trade differently and are measured differently, and margins are different on different markets. So you just need to be familiar with that. So, okay. Well, Doug, anything else you want to add today?
No, not at all. I'll set up a workspace for you, and if there's
That'd
any particular one you want me to analyze, I can put it on here,
because
I trade multiple markets, so whatever one you want me to take a look
great,
at,
man.
I'd be glad to take a look at for you.
Just really good to hear from you again, and by all means, I'll shoot you, you've got a link for the week for this session, and I'll shoot you a link for the other session in the morning.
Very good.
All right, buddy.
All right, great.
Thanks so much.
Yep.
Okay, guys, that's going to wrap it up for me. We've turned this one-hour radio program into 1 hour and 41 minutes. See, you always get more than you pay for with CFRN. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in today. Well, let's not go quite so quick. Let's have just a quick look at the chart I'm going to leave up. Okay, now, there's that entry. We'll see what happens. Okay, come back and look at it tomorrow. If you took this entry, the worst that would happen is that you'd get stomped out back here. See, we went from doji to doji. See? And there's no reason that you have to jump all over this, because if this does give way and the door opens up here, then the next move down is... you know what, Doug? You were trying to point something out to me. And, different Doug. We got several Dougs here. I see what you were pointing out, Doug. I didn't have one of the levels up on the chart. Thank you very much. Okay. So, this is a point Doug was trying to make. Let me go back and look at the questions again. Let's see. Yep. Okay. Yeah, Doug, thank you for that. 0910 is a zone. So, you know, yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I would want people to consider that this area could be good support right here. I had it on the other chart, I guess, and I just didn't have it on this one. Okay, yeah. All right. So, all right, that's where we are on this one. Okay? Still looking a little heavy-handed, but the chart I wanted to leave you with was this one. See, we had the 09010 over here already. But we've been wanting dynamic support now since 24 hours ago. And we just... And what we love to see, what I love to see, is when we get dynamic resistance or support printing. If you could only click his arrow. There it is. Okay. Okay. We were waiting yesterday. We were waiting on the overnight. Still waiting. Now, notice up here how we got this dynamic resistance printed right in the zone. Now, the two have absolutely nothing to do with each other. This is calculated one way. This dynamic support and resistance is calculated completely different way. So when you have them print in the zone like that, it's pretty significant. More significant, anyway. Does it mean that it's 100% going to hold? No. No absolutes. See, here we had it. Although, actually, this wasn't a zone last... This was going back to last week, and the zones were different last week. So, I can't use that as an example. I'd have to go back to last week's zones and look at the number. But you can. If you're a partner, you've got the numbers. You can go back and maybe you even save an old chart like Michael and I showed you. You can save a chart back with the previous week's zones. Because when the market is looking for a turning place, and we don't have anything there. Usually if you look at the previous week's zones, you'll find something. So we come into this 0910. If we start to print dynamic support in here, okay, then that is going to get me looking for a long trade going into the close. Yeah, Doug, I don't have last week's sheet. What was the lowest number last week? Oh, no, I take that back. I do have it. It's right here. Last week, the lowest was 24.25. Yeah, you're right. We had nothing down that low. Okay. So then last week, when that dynamic resistance printed, there was no zones down in that area. All right. So watch this, guys. I'll leave this chart running. The webinar will continue to run, and I'll let you guys watch this chart into the close. Then I'll come in and I'll shut it down. We'll go back to our regularly scheduled programming as we do every day at this time. And when we came into the live broadcast today, if I'm not mistaken, we were hearing, who's doing the reading today? Kelly Ryan is reading from Luke. She's almost done. She's already up, and she's almost finished with Luke 20. So she'll finish up with 21, 22, 23, 24. Then a little Michael W. Smith for you. And then one of my favorites, Mark Driscoll, he'll be on to do some answers, a Q&A session on creation. So, and you know, a lot of people want to argue, non-believers in particular, or your intellectual friends, they want to argue with you about creation. How, you know, that's kind of like a fairy tale, really. He scooped down, grabbed up some dirt, and breathed life into it. Admittedly, that does seem a little hard to fathom, but that's the beginning of life, right? Think about the end of life. Okay, in the beginning, according to the Bible, God exhaled, and dirt became man. Okay, now what's going to happen at the end of your life? You're going to exhale and become dirt. Seriously? Yeah. Go to any graveyard, start digging up old graves. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So while it seems fantastical and hard to imagine, and it's just all metaphorical, and, well, not really, that man began that way, but yet we all readily accept that man ends that way. At least this physical body, this earth tent that we rent for some 80 years. If we live right, don't step in front of buses. Right? Think about next time somebody wants to argue with creation. Don't even have that argument about creation, about the hand of God reaching down, scooping up some dirt, say, okay, you know what, if you can't believe that, fine. Can you believe the end of the story? Because once they are face to face with the end of the story and they go, oh gee, I never thought about it like that, then the other end of that story becomes a lot easier for the skeptic to swallow. It really does. So anyway, now I don't know that that's the approach Mark's going to take when he comes on here in a bit to talk about creation and do question and answers, but hang around. For now, we'll go back to Kelly Dolan reading from Luke 20 out of the Message. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't like the Message translation. It's very controversial. Personally, I like it. I've been reading the Bible for many, many years. You know, I started out with the King James, like most of us did. I've read through numerous translations. I know that some translations, like the Living Translations, drops some very important scripture. I don't mean they mistranslate it. I mean they just forgot to put it in. Like the part where Jesus says some things. The disciples are questioning Jesus. They're saying, hey, how come we couldn't cast that demon out? And Jesus said, well, some things only come out by prayer and fasting. That verse, it's not mistranslated in the New Living Translation. It's just completely left out. So, given that, do I recommend handing just any translation to a new believer? No, not necessarily. Because I think that's a very important scripture. A very important scripture. So, you know, you've got to decide what translation is you're comfortable with. But in doing so, you need to be aware of what the differences are and what the arguments are. And above and beyond everything, remember that it's not about the letter of the law, at least not anymore, not since Calvary. It's about the work that Jesus came to do. It's about a thing called grace. And it's about reading the Word, not that you would understand the letter of the law, but that the power of the Holy Spirit would be able to speak to you and change your life and change lives through you. That, my friend, is the heart of God. So again, thank you so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. Living.